Let me say this. I'm not talking to the ladies beside you. I'm not talking to the ladies in another church. I'm not talking to another age group. I'm talking to each one of us as ladies, because modesty is a virtue that is applicable. It's something we need to develop in each one of us. And it's a lifestyle that we need to adapt as Christians so that we can be a witness to the world. We're not here to make anyone feel guilty for past choices. I mean, when I look through my photo album, I'm like, ooh, yeah, that probably wouldn't cut it. We're here to start new and to move forward from here. Take a new look at our wardrobe and go from there. All right, so what I've listed here are four problems and one solution. Most of this stuff is on your handout. If you got a handout, I may add a few things here or there. But otherwise, I wanted to give you something that you could take home, continue your discussion, because obviously it's not going to end after today. So the first problem is culture in itself. And it should not surprise us that as the culture is shedding its knowledge and its reverence of God, it's also shedding its clothing, its modesty. It has no idea of the shame that clothing is to cover, and they walk around with their shame and nakedness for all to see. And as church ladies, we need to ask, are we doing the same? Are we starting to, is the culture starting to infiltrate into our own lives as well? Another problem is men. Okay, men aren't really a problem, at least not all the time. But they are different, wired differently than we are. And therefore, dress can be a stumbling block, or the lack of our dress can be a stumbling block for them. From what I've read, men don't generally blame women. They realize that they are responsible for their thought lives. But they're also honest about the effects that immodesty has on their minds, and they plead with us to dress modestly. I took a few quotes off of the Revolution website, where they did a huge online survey, and men could put their thoughts down. A 20-year-old says, "We are responsible for bringing these senses into subordination to the will of God. We're trying. We get tested every day. That's our job, wherever we are, whether in the world or in the church. But quite honestly, we'd rather do our battles with the world than with our sisters in Christ." That's a plea, obviously, for modest dressing within the church and church functions. Age 19 says, "I can tell you from experience that the way a girl dresses can definitely help or hinder a guy's spiritual walk. As hard as we try to train our minds and our eyes to avoid lust, the smallest immodesty can become a stumbling block. Please realize that guys are fighting a spiritual battle." And a 15-year-old says, "They," referring to bikinis, "are no better than underwear and are extremely distracting, the biggest stumbling blocks there are." So our dress has an effect on men, on young men, on boys, and we need to be careful. It may come as a surprise to some, maybe pretty obviously to others, that men are visually stimulated. We were all created with an autonomic nervous system, and I'm no nurse or who studies this stuff, anatomy, chemist, biologist, I don't know. But this is what I read. The ANS is set in motion by the environment, or the sights around us, the sounds, the smells. And it affects things such as the heart rate, perspiration, salivation, sexual arousal, among other things. And it's automatic, and it's physical. And in men, these responses are, first of all, triggered quite quickly, quite strongly, and more defined in women by sight. Women were not so much in the sight category. Maybe that's why modesty gets talked about more on women's end than on men. But men, these responses are strong, and they're more defined, and they're something that they just happen. They're an automatic response, obviously, autonomic. So what does it look like? Well, a woman walks by, and a man notices. The ANS jump starts, and it's very hard for the man to shut it down before it turns into lust. Maybe it's not very hard, but they really have to work at it to shut it down. So, yeah, there you go. Your science lesson for the day. Two more quotes in this regard. Guys' brains are wired, so how a girl is dressed is like the first thing we notice. Talk about annoying. Can you just hear a 17-year-old saying that? The less modestly you dress, as another 17-year-old, the more likely you are to have our immediate attention. There's that ANS. But the less likely you are to have our admiration and respect. And trust me, you don't want attention without respect. Powerful words from teenagers. There was also a study done in Princeton. I just had to put this one in here. in 2009 where men were shown pictures of scantily clad women, not even the faces, so it just had to do with clothing. And the same part of their brain lit up as when they saw a tool, a hammer, a saw. No kidding. Right? So they see women, in that case then, as a means to an end, right? You use a hammer to build a shelf. The hammer is not the shelf. You see a woman, you use her, and to what end would be, of course, sex. So what we wear goes a long way in determining whether others see us as the people we are in Jesus Christ, women, beautiful, made in God's image, or as a means to an end. Something to keep in mind as we get dressed every day. Yet another problem. That's us. Yes, we're not free of this either. Where do we begin? Well, C.J. Mahaney says that any biblical discussion of modesty begins by addressing the heart and not the hemline. It was Jeremiah who wrote, "The heart is desperately wicked." Do we see the problem? Let's face it, we have a spiritual battle going on within ourselves as well. Because who of us doesn't like to be noticed? Who of us doesn't like to see heads turn when we walk into the room or walk by? Who of us has never succumbed to peer pressure? We have battles going on within ourselves also. And they play into the discussion. So what do we do? Well, we need to use the lens of Scripture as we look in the mirror to help us determine our motives. Are we wearing this outfit to make heads turn? Or are we wearing it to glorify God and the beautiful woman He made us to be? I'm all about questions today. If you came looking for answers, I'm not sure you're going to get many, but you'll go home with a lot of questions that hopefully you can think about and talk about with your friends or lady society groups in the year to come. Does my clothing today show a heart that worships God or one that worships my own image? Am I showing love and compassion to a weaker brother? Am I willing to deny my own selfish ambition and glorify God in my dress? Do I show the grace and beauty of womanhood with this outfit? Or do I flaunt my body for all to see? There is a difference. So ladies, we need to check the motives of our heart. Even if our heart says this is fine, what is your motive? One final problem is clothing. Maybe better would be clothing designers. I don't know. Hopefully there's no clothing designers in the room. But there are clothing. Nancy Lee DeMoss uses the two words, clothing that expose and clothing that emphasize. These are both offenders to modesty. When they expose, we ask the question, does this piece of clothing expose anything that shouldn't be exposed? And one of you in your surveys had the four B's, bum, back, breast, or belly. Those are the good mental check when you go shopping. How will you know if anything's exposed? Well, you need to try it on. But you can't just stand in the little change room and say, yep, that fits. You need to sing, sit, dance, swirl. Pick up your purse, your cane, your little toddler, whatever it is. Are you seeing something you shouldn't see? Are others going to see that as well? And make your decision from there. Does it emphasize or draw attention to a certain body part or to the entire body part, the entire body in general? Is it too form-fitting? Is there something that draws attention to a place you don't want attention drawn? Another author used the term illusions, which I thought was interesting. Does it look like something other than what it is? I saw a picture again in the Sears catalog of a big, I think they're called cowl necks or scowl necks or something. Really low, kind of earth colors. And I had to look twice. But there was a tank underneath, so you couldn't see anything. But the tank was also a nude color, a skin color. So it looks like other than what it is. It is covered, but it makes you look twice. That's an illusion. Where do your buttons fall if you have pockets on your shirt? Where are your buttons? Your pockets. Writing on your backside, on your pants, on your jogging pants, right? All of those are drawing attention where they shouldn't be. Emphasis or illusion may be harder for you to figure out. So when you go shopping, bring a husband or a like-minded shopper, or one who at least is willing to be honest with you, and maybe who's been here today, so you all know what page you're on, Or dare I say it for some young girls who might be here, your mom or your dad? I don't know, might work, might help you. If in doubt, leave it out of your shopping cart. And one of you also said that your dad always used to say, if it's not for sale, don't advertise. Makes sense. So the solution is to be found in Scripture. I think we all know, and maybe we're a little bit disappointed, that Scripture doesn't give a list of do's and don'ts. It has to be this high, this low, this loose-fitting, this color, this whatever. It doesn't do that for us, but it does give us principles that we can draw. First of all, let me say that immodesty violates God's design for clothing. When Adam and Eve sinned and felt their shame, they made for themselves flimsy coverings for their private parts. But that wasn't enough. When God came to speak to them, he made them a coat or a tunic. And a coat or a tunic generally covers from the neck to midway below the knee or the ankle. And it usually meant that these things, arms, were covered as well. God knew that that much was needed to cover the shame and sin, the shame of sin, and to keep men from stumbling. And if you do a study of nakedness in the Bible, you'll notice it has several different meanings. And one of the meanings is that undergarments are revealed. It doesn't mean completely naked, but that undergarments are revealed. And if you think about it, how often aren't undergarments revealed in our society today, aka bikinis, bra straps, thong underwear? 1 Timothy 2, verse 9, in like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. This verse is given in the context of the church, but it's why should we dress any differently in church than in the world? I like the way Mary Cashin, I'm not sure how you say your name, talked through this verse. She asked a set of three questions. The first was, is it becoming or unbecoming? Is it becoming to or fitting to and consistent with your character as a child of God? Is it becoming to your style and body type or shape? Some styles, some body shapes can wear, other styles not. So don't just wear it because your friend can wear it who's that much taller or bigger or whatever. Make sure it works for who you are. Is it becoming to your femininity, to your husband? Is it becoming to the other clothes you are wearing? Does the outfit work? And is it becoming to the place and occasion to which you wear them? So you see that dress is not only about what I'm doing today, but it has both a temporal, yes, what I'm going to wear today, but also an eternal perspective in it. And it needs to reflect who we are as children of God. Something to keep in mind as well. The second question she asked, is it decent or indecent? Your clothes cover your nakedness as the clothing of Christ covers our sin. And when you dress decently, you recognize that God ordained clothes to cover and not draw attention to your naked skin. You cover up out of respect for him, the gospel, your Christian brothers, and out of respect for who he made you to be. Decency means you agree with the Lord about the true purpose of clothing and set aside your self-interest to dress in a way that exalts Christ. Lots to think about there. The third question is it moderate or excessive? She says, is it reasonable and not crazy? If it's crazy extreme, if it's crazy expensive, or if it's crazy for you to be buying yet another fill in the blank, then you ought to pass it up. That is also part of modest living. It's not just, it's about how much is in your closet. 1 Peter 3, verse 3 and 4 is the other verse we'll talk about. It says, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Not all versions have the merely in there, but all commentaries agree that it's not saying walk around in rags with unkempt hair and don't care anything about yourself. But what it is saying is that the outward adornment should not be the only thing that we care about, and it should definitely not be the first thing that we care about. This verse tells us that what is precious to God is a gentle and quiet heart. That is the beauty. Good thing you have handouts. Okay. That won't fade or become old-fashioned. Our clothing choices must not scream, hey, look at me, man, look what I'm wearing. Aren't I pretty or in style or whatever? But it should point others towards the greatness and graciousness of God in giving those coverings and covering our shame and guilt of sin. One final thought, how can we share the good news of the gospel when the one we're talking to, whether male or female, is so distracted by our cleavage or our tight pants or our bra straps or our sheer and gaping blouses that they do not hear what the gospel is saying? So what is the purpose of dressing modestly? We are a witness to the world, also in our clothes. Dressing modestly, it won't get us to heaven. That's not what saves us. It won't make you a better person, and it won't save your soul. But what it will do is display obedience to the word of God. It will reflect a heart that is submitted to him and a desire to dress to the glory of God. So I hope that gives you something to think about, something to take home with you, possibly something to apply to our lives as women as a whole. And we just trust that the Lord will work in each one of our hearts as is needed in each of our lives.